Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, June 29th, 2018, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter Into Action. We're on page 80, reading paragraph 2. This brings to mind reading through three paragraphs today that ends with "This all happened years ago." And today's readers are reading the 12 steps, Nan K, the 12 traditions, Leslie M, reading the text and being support today is Chrissy G, Kathy Jo P, and Penny LC. The reference numbers, the share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting is 11597, 11,597. That's for Thursday, June 28th. And then the meeting this morning, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, Friday, June 29th. That share ID is 11601, 11,601. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nan K to read the 12 steps. Hi, Nan K, are you there?
Yep. My name is Nan K, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you, Nan K. Leslie M., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Good morning, Melanie. This is Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. The 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to service, and I pass.
Thank you, Leslie M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 again to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book into action on page 80, starting with paragraph 2, This Brings to Mind, reading through 3 paragraphs, which ends with This All Happened Years Ago. And I'll ask Chrissy G. to read those 3 paragraphs and open this up by sharing on those. Good morning, Chrissy.
Good morning, Melanie. It's Chrissy G., recovered compulsive overeater from New York. This brings to mind a story about one of our friends. While drinking, he accepted a sum of money from a bitterly hated business rival, giving him no receipt for it. He subsequently denied having received the money and used the incident as a basis for discrediting the man. He thus used his own wrongdoing as a means of destroying the reputation of another. In fact, his rival was ruined. He felt that he had done a wrong he could not possibly make right. If he opened that old affair, he was afraid it would destroy the reputation of his partner, disgrace his family, and take away his means of livelihood. What right had he to involve those dependent upon him? How could he possibly make a public statement exonerating his rival? After consulting with his wife and partner, he came to the conclusion that it was better to take those risks than to stand before his creator guilty of such ruinous slander. He saw that he had to place the outcome in God's hands, or he would soon start drinking again, and all would be lost anyhow. He attended church for the first time in many years. After the sermon, he quietly got up and made an explanation. His action met widespread approval. And today, he is one of the most trusted citizens of his town. This all happened years ago. Hi, I'm Chrissy. And I did have a situation that wasn't identical, but similar in terms of me being getting to the point where, you know, in this process of coming to depend on a higher power and truly depend on a higher power in the way that I'm going to put my money literally where my mouth is and put all my cards on the table and be honest and leave the outcome in God's hands. And I did that early on in recovery because I was audited, and I didn't choose to come clean necessarily, and I wasn't found to have done anything wrong at the end of it, but certainly I was putting my livelihood, my children's livelihood, you know, the possibility of losing our home and all our savings, that was all on the table. That was all a possibility, possible outcomes. When my business was audited, I was audited by the insurance company because I was a provider for a mental health provider. And so all that I built for years and years, they were looking at it to see if it was legit. And, you know, if there were any, you know, it could have just been sloppy notes on some of them. And I might have been charged for that, you know, and had to give the money back. It could have been, you know, it wasn't necessarily something that I was outright, you know, duplicitous and trying, but my life was in their hands, and they were going to make the determination as to how much I owed or didn't owe. And my job was just to give them all the information and leave it in God's hands and wait for the outcome. And that took a lot of faith. That was a test of faith. And, you know, listen, it could have worked either way, but it turned out that nothing came of it. And it was a great relief, but it was a test of my faith. It was a test of what lengths I was going to go to get sober. And I know that sober means sober living. It doesn't just mean sober from food. It means sober from dishonesty, from self-seeking motives, from trying to live a life where I'm in charge and I'm taking my destiny in my hands. I'm now living a life that's completely opposite, where once I come into this program and I'm taking steps 1, 2, and 3, I'm turning my will and my life over to God. And my job is to just show up and be real and be honest and leave the outcome in God's hands. And in my experience, everything that's left in God's hands in due course turns out perfectly. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Chrissy G. We are reading on page 80 of the Big Book, starting with paragraph 2, The Springs to Mind, and reading through 3 paragraphs today. Now it's open for others to comment on those 3 paragraphs. If you're interested, please press star 1.
Hi, this is Kristen R. in Virginia. I'd like to share.
Hi, Kristen R. Okay, thank you. Just one moment.
Karen R., North Carolina.
Karen R.
Lynn S.
Lynn S.
Kate B., Minnesota. I'd like to share.
Kate B.
Rich B. in Ireland.
Rich B. in Ireland. Let's go with that lineup. Thank you. I have Kristen R., Karen R., Lynn S., Kate B., and Rich B. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you. And thank you for your service and to everybody who helped put this meeting together this morning. My name is Kristen R. I'm a compulsive eater in Virginia. And I struggled with this part of the book, just like probably many people, when they first started in the program, thinking, how would I ever face the people that I had lied to, stolen from? But I was given great comfort at the end of step 9. And the strange comfort I got was that I wouldn't have to harm more people with my amends. I wouldn't have to re-harm people. I wouldn't have to go back to the boyfriend that I treated so poorly for years and years and years and remind him of everything and say I was sorry, because that would do harm to him. But there were cases where I did have to go directly to people. And the part of the reading that stands out to me this morning is two. There's two things. The first one is he consults with other people. And as soon as I go and I start consulting with other people, I'm getting out of my disease, because my disease is a disease of isolation. I isolate myself, and then I come up with fantastic ideas about how to run my life. And I'll tell you, just like everybody else says in program, my best thinking got me here. So I had to surrender that. I had to start asking, okay, what is the right thing to do here? Let me go talk to other people about it, other recovered people who have been through the steps and who've gone ahead of me and who can light the way. And the other part of this is we have to trust God. We have to trust that whatever the outcome is, that it's God's plan. My first set of amends that I had to make, I had to admit that I shoplifted as a teenager from a store where I had worked for many years. And I actually had personal relationships with the owners and considered them friends. And I had to go to them and tell them I stole from them. And it was hard. But when I did it, I got a letter back from one of the owners not only forgiving me, but saying, me too. I've done things wrong in my life. How could I possibly judge you? And I'm so grateful to have made that amends, because she died. She was only 58 years old, and she died less than 2 years later of cancer. And if I hadn't made that amend, I would have regretted it for the rest of my life. And I'm so grateful to this program for pushing me out of my comfort zone and to help me see who God wants me to be, because it's so much better than who I want to be. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Kristen. Karen R., you're next.
Hi, this is Karen R., compulsive overeater, anorexic, bulimic, in North Carolina, in recovery. I hope you can hear me okay this morning. I am only got one bar, so I'm going to keep it short and quick. The thing that jumped out at me was slander. He destroyed the reputation of his partner. And it really, I kind of went right into thinking about gossip. How do I destroy the reputation of another person? My disease likes to point the finger at everybody else, whether it be with money, whether it be with with things that go wrong around the house. Immediately, if I lose something, my disease says, somebody stole it, you know. I go right to something very negative. And I think it's because as an alcoholic, as a compulsive overeater, I balk at looking at myself. So I point the fingers at others. There's been times, and another thing I wanted to share is there's been times where I have said things about people, and I had to go back and say something good about them as an amends. There's also been a time recently where a bill collector called. I immediately started taking their inventory and started getting angry at the person on the other line. They were just doing their job. I did a 10-step, and then I had to go back. And I called them. I called them, and I said to them, because I can't live that way, you know. So I called them back, and I said to them, you know, I was very inconsiderate with the person. I couldn't find the same person, but I said, can I please just make this amends to you? And I did that. I told them it was my fault, and I don't blame you for cutting me off or closing my account. I didn't pay on time. So I admitted my faults. I come clean. That is, to me, living a sober life. I'm going to have faults. I'm human. But as I said, my initial diseased reaction usually is to point the finger at somebody else. And this keeps me sick. I have to look at my side of the street. And thank you for allowing me to share. I wish everybody a blessed, abstinent day. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Karen R. Lynn S., you're next, and then Kate will come after you.
Good morning. This is Lynn S., a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. It always amazes me when we're reading the big book, the level and the depth that these people, this, you know, first 100, went to in order to recover. And, you know, sometimes I struggle making a ninth step amend, like I don't want to, do I really have to, I put it off. And I think, you know, look what they did, like look at the level they went to. And the only one in my own history that I can even think of that would come close to that is when I had to admit to a boss of mine that I had padded my expense account, and it was about $1,500 I figured I owed him. And I remember going to him and telling him that I owed him this money. I had to actually do it in a letter because I couldn't reach him. And one of the main things in this whole reparation and this whole amends process, I didn't want him to think I had taken this money since I had been in program. He knew I was in program because it mattered to me how, what an amazing difference program had made in my life and how it had transformed me and the principles that I was trying to live by. And I didn't want him to think that. I can remember that. But and it went well, of course. And part of me, I must admit, was hoping that he would give me the $1,500 back. And he actually thought of it, but his wife said, no, this is part of her healing, and so it was donated to the church. But I can remember that. But what's also interesting, and I heard this on the line a couple of days ago, and it's really stuck with me, is when I first started making amends many years ago, it was because I was in a 12-step program and this is what we're supposed to do and stuff like that. And now when I make amends, it's because I live by certain principles. And when I go against those principles, it is objectionable to me. And I want to live with integrity. And I am so, like, the awe of that, the awe of that transformation, which only comes, which is a change through me, through God, which only comes by continually working the steps and removing what's blocking me from God. That's the real gem of this whole thing, living by these principles. And I am so grateful to God for this recovery and this sense. And I wouldn't have heard that if I hadn't been listening online. So thank you, Vision. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Lynn S. Kate B., you're next. And then Rich, you'll follow Kate. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Kate B. I'm recovering compulsive overeater from Minnesota, and this is my first time sharing. I'm happy to be on the line today. So happy to hear others share, and I'm really happy to be sharing myself for the first time. So I am currently on step 10 and going through step 9. I still have a few amends to make, finding the importance of meeting people face-to-face if I can. So I really appreciated being able to move on and continue my work in the steps, but also to know that, you know, I'm willing, more than willing to make these amends face-to-face. So in my first few amends, I also have stolen food from Dairy Queens where I used to work, and it has just been such miracles to contact these owners after years and years and to meet them face-to-face to describe how I've changed and how I've harmed them and how you know, my program is helping me to be a better person and promising not to do that again. And I have found such forgiveness of myself, and they have been so generous to forgive me. And one of the past owners even said, you know, it never hurt us. We all knew that you teenage kids are taking food, but we knew you would have to live with it. And you're cleaning your soul, baby girl. You're cleaning your soul, and that makes me so happy. And that's what it really was. I was cleaning my soul, and it felt beautiful, and it brought tears to my eyes. So later on that day, this is how insane my disease is. I'm going to Walmart to get groceries, and I have three items on the bottom of the cart, go to self-checkout, and even had a gal help me and didn't realize as I was walking out the door that the three items on the bottom I didn't pay for. And a fleeting thought, it was fleeting, but a fleeting thought was, oh, cool, I got that for free. I thought, I just stopped my cart and I turned around. I thought, that is so insane. Why would I ever, ever do that? And I just shook my head at myself. I couldn't believe that thought even came in my head. And I was just flabbergasted. So, you know, I was still a work in progress. And it felt good to go back, right back to the gal that helped me and said, I'm so sorry. I forgot to pay for these and pay for them right then and there. So I just, you know, it's just been amazing what God is doing. And I remember telling myself as I'm looking to do a few more amends, steps 1, 2, and 3, that's where I come from. That's my foundation. I am powerless over this disease, and only my higher power, who I call God, is able to, you know, help me through this. And as long as I am willing, he will take my character defects, and that is what he is doing. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Kate B. Rich B., you're going to be next, but I wanted to let folks know, because the lines for sharing will be open again, that we are on page 80 in the Big Book, chapter Into Action, reading 3 paragraphs today, starting with paragraph 2, This Brings to Mind. And get ready, I'll take a few more names after Rich shares. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Richard B., and I am a recovered grateful compulsive overeater in Cork, Ireland. And I'm trying to time myself here. I want to spend 1 minute on the problem and 2 minutes on the solution. So that passage, he felt he had done wrong and he could not possibly make right. And skipping on, afraid he would destroy his family and take away his means of livelihood. I have several financial amends to make regarding places I had worked in the past where I had stolen money or stolen food, and I need to try and make those right. And it's something which is incredibly difficult for me to do. And my wife has expressed concern about how it could affect her, and I need to pray to God for the willingness to do the right thing. And I don't know what that right thing is going to be right now, whether it's to listen to my wife and go by what she says for now and make a different form of amends, or to actually go ahead, bite the bullet, and try and make contact with these people. There's a bit there at the end of that paragraph. He had to place the outcome in God's hands, or he would soon start drinking again, and all would be lost anyhow. And that's what really kind of, it makes me nervous, and it's something I need to do a fear inventory on again, is that if I'm not making the direct amends, and for me that is hell enough, but, you know, and as there's somebody who is absolutely adverse in the past to making amends to these people, and I'm fairly new to doing these kind of amends now. I always kind of do the more simpler ones, or the ones to my brother, or that kind of thing. Sorry, my puppies are in the background barking. The ones where it's financial and it could affect somebody else, or could affect me, it's really hard. I actually made a donation to a charity this week in relation to one of the men's financial amends, where I couldn't track the person down. So I made a donation to the charity, only to find out that as a reward, quote unquote, for making the amends, I'm actually going to get something in return, and that does not sit well with me. So I actually feel like that amends has not been made properly. I made an effort, but because I'm benefiting from it, I do not feel that I can count that as an amends, and I can just chop it up to, you know, I paid for something and I'll get something, and that's just going to be something else. So there's a new amends to be made there, that way. So, yeah, like I've heard fantastic things in this. Oh, the time I've just seen. Sorry. I'll leave it at that. I'm really grateful to be here, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. The lines are now open for additional people to comment on those three paragraphs on page 80, 2 through 4. Anyone like to share on those?
Gina R.
Hi, Gina.
Shannon F.
Anyone else? Shannon.
Leah TD.
Leah TD.
Stephanie N.
Stephanie
Dave D. N. in Washington.
Steve, did you say?
This is Dave in Western
Dave,
Washington.
Dave. Gotcha.
Nancy,
so the first initial of your last name? Dave, the first initial of your last name?
Delta D.
Thank you so much. Sorry about not hearing you. And I heard Nancy L. Let's go with that and see what happens from there. Gina, Shannon, Liat, Stephanie, Dave, and Nancy. Good morning again, Gina.
Good morning, Mel, and good morning, everybody. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body and compulsive eater in Green Valley, Arizona. I'm going to talk about an amends that I didn't even realize was an amends, because it actually it began before I really was working this program earnestly. And this came through my spiritual program. But I, like a lot of us, had many issues of stealing food or consuming way too much food in different environments and places. And where I was spiritually at the time, I was doing a lot of intercessory prayer and just learning how to sit and listen to my higher power. And one day I got the message that whenever I was going to be eating out in a restaurant, if I saw anybody praying over their meal, that I was to buy their meal. And I can tell you, this really unsettled me, and it made me nervous. And for a long time, I didn't go out to eat, but it kept coming up. And I can remember the first time it happened, I saw somebody offering a blessing over their meal, and I could just feel this energy coming up, and God is like, this is it, this is it, this is what I'm talking about. And I went over to the wait person and told him what I wanted to do, and I needed to do this in anonymity. And anyway, this went on for almost 5 years, and I have calculated the money. It's several thousand dollars, and I don't even know if it's close to how much food I stole over the time. But what I want to say is, it's not just about the money or just about the amends. The last time this happened was in a buffet restaurant, and there was a young, older couple there, and I did it. And the lady came up, and she insisted that I tell her who I was. And I at first refused, but she was so insistent, I gave her my name and my address. About a year later, she sent me a card, and she told me that that act broke open a place in her husband's heart that no one had ever been able to get to. He was a minister, and he was never able to receive help from others. He was always giving. And she said it was that act, and he was 89 years old. So these amends may not make sense to us, and they may feel very, very scary, but it is important to just be faithful and do the best you can with them. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Gina R. Shannon S., you're next, and Leah will come after you, Shannon.
Good morning. Thank you, Melanie, for your service. Thanks, everybody, for being here and everybody who's done service. This is Shannon S., recovered compulsive overeater and anorexic in New York. And I've just been reading Step 9 with a sponsee. But I have two really powerful experiences of financial amends. One in which I was in college, and I had a work-study program, and the professor that I was working for, he really was not around very much, and it was just kind of on your honor to come in and do work and fill out the timesheet, and he just signed it. And, you know, as a college student, that didn't save me a whole heck of a lot. But, you know, once I got into program, that really came back to me. And at first, especially young in program, it was like, well, that was so long ago, you know, it's not that big of a deal, or I don't really need to go back, you know, the college made some money hand over fist, you know, all those rationalizations. But you know what, by the grace of God, I got to a place of willingness, and I estimated it was probably about $1,000. And so I drove the hour and a half to the school, and I went there, and I told the administrators what I wanted to do, and they looked at me like I had five eyes. And they sent me from office to office to office, and were like, we don't really know what to do with this girl. And finally, they just took it as a donation, and, you know, people were, like, treating me like I was, like, some kind of special, you know, special person, like, oh, my gosh, wow, that's amazing. And it was like, no, you know, that I'm just paying back what I stole. I mean, this was never mine. So this belongs to the school. And the school would send me different things. You know, I was in this club for being a high donor and so on and so forth. And you know what? I could never take advantage of those perks of being that quote-unquote donor because I wasn't. I was just repaying back what I never should have taken in the first place. And I love that line about, you know, we have to do this because surely we'll drink again. I had another man to an amusement park that, for stealing items when I was a teenager, and it equaled a few hundred bucks. And I had worked really hard to try to get in touch with the right person to do the amends. And then the gentleman just stopped communicating with me. And then I kind of forgot about it. And then it came back to me and I was like, I need to do this amends because I'm going to be right back in the food. Well, now my situation is different. I'm remarried. When I was going to start making this amends or do this amends, I wasn't married. So now there was all this fear of like, oh my gosh, now I need to take this money from our household budget. And I don't want to tell my husband and, you know, what if he's upset and all these fears. Thank you so much. I'll wrap up. And, but you know what? I had to do it. And so I decided that I was going to give up some things that I do for myself for a period of time to make up that money, and it feels clean. So I have to be willing to go to any lengths. Thanks a lot. I'll pass.
Thanks, Shannon S. Liat TD, you're next, and then Stephanie N. will follow you.
Good morning, Melanie. Hi, everybody. Liat TD from Northern California. You know, while I was listening to all of you in the reading, I was reminded by this guy giving an explanation of recover. What is it to recover? We recovered, you know, and there's a broken vessel, and we get to recover all those pieces. And I came broken, completely shattered, thousands of different pieces of, you know, and one of those ways of recovering the tissues to become more whole again was the step. You know, and when I look back, there's nothing that I forgot, you know, the harm that I've done. You know, I stole food, also those books people talk about. I stole food, you know, as a little girl, you know, as a five-year-old, and I don't forget it. I forgot a lot of things from being five-year-old, but I don't forget. I never forgot that I stole from those stores food. And so I need to come to peace with it. I need to recover those pieces and bring back the liat, you know, put myself back together, and that's one part. And I grew up in a way that told me, you know, just living amends, just change your behavior. Don't do that anymore. And that's wonderful. Yeah, I became a better person. But for some reason, I really never got over, until I made those physical amends, I never got over, you know, I never was able to recover those pieces. And so this year, and I've had battled for years with the whole thing of stealing from stores, because I looked for the stores and they were closed, or little kiosks that were closed, and no one knew, you know, they build new buildings on them, and And this year when I was in Israel, I said, I got money with me and I have to make this amend. I didn't even know how I'm going to make it. You know, and previous shares were talking about praying and taking, because I want to finish. I want to get it done. I want to get that peace back, right? But I sought counsel, as was, you know, led in the book. I sought counsel. I prayed a lot, and I asked God, how do you want me to make this amend? It's been bothering me for years. And finally, I found this one place, kiosk, and God gave me this message of, you know, give him the money and tell him that whoever needs, you know, because they write on the tab, if anybody is in need and a family doesn't have, then give them, you know, the money or distribute it over time. And it was the most beautiful, perfect, wholesome experience. And I do feel that that piece, that broken piece, has been recovered. Right. And so, okay, I love you all, and I encourage you to continue and complete those amends. Bye.
Thank you, Liat TD. Stephanie N., you're next, and then Dave D. will follow you.
Thank you. This is Stephanie N., recovered in Kansas, and this story was reminding me of a situation where I had slandered my husband. Before program, I was really wrapped up in self-righteousness and my own self-will over a problem, and my husband did not agree with me about what I thought the solution was. And so I complained to anyone that would listen to me. And in the process, I really did slander him. I mean, I was just the martyr and he was the villain. And, you know, I needed other people to agree with me and to be on my side, because I was so filled with self-righteousness. And I really made him out to be this monster. It would have hurt my husband had I told him what I had done during that time. It was a lot of years ago, but it would have hurt him. But I have since gone back to the people I complained to him about, and I explained that my husband is kind and loving, and that he was thinking of our entire family, and I was only thinking of myself. And then since that time, I've taken the opportunity to praise my husband, to my husband and to others, whenever the opportunity presents itself, because he really is a loyal person. And I get wrapped up in myself, and I can only see what is going to serve me. And my husband was thinking of others and not just of himself. And so I can see now that that is not the appropriate way. But at the time, I couldn't. I was so blinded by my selfishness. And there was someone told me a story. It was about gossip. And they said that a priest once gave someone the penance that to go out and buy a chicken. On your way home, you pluck the chicken to prepare it for your dinner. Now, prepare the chicken, and I want you to go back out and collect all of the feathers that you spread on your way home. And the penitent said, well, Father, that will be impossible. I cannot collect all of the feathers. And he said, exactly. And I know that it's true that I may have forgotten to tell someone or contact one of the people that I complained about my husband to. You know, I cannot make sure that I've collected every feather. I hope that I have, but I've gone out and gossiped and slandered, and I don't know if I can repair the damage 100%, but now that I'm in the program, I have this new way of living. You know, it just gives me the opportunity not to do that to another person or to do that to my husband again, that I can keep my side of the street clean and live with integrity. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie N. Dave D., you're next, and then Nancy will come after you.
Good morning, group. I love this little meeting. Thank you very much for all of your shares. My name is Dave. I'm a food addict from Western Washington. The main thing that comes to my mind is that I can't have any expectations as to what's going to happen after when I do make the amends. So, and sometimes it's completely out of the blue. I once made a a serious amends to a guy back in Ohio. And it seems to be that every time I went through Ohio, it was on the weekend. And I knew in my heart of hearts that this guy wasn't working on the weekends. And so I finally structured it to where I was going through Ohio during the week. And I finally made the amends to the guy, left my arms at my side, and just simply said, "Do you remember?" And he said, "Yes." And I knew right then and there that I was willing to take the punch and have him drop me. And we talked for a little while. And then I said, "Okay, let's write the check." And we came to an agreement as to what it would be, how much I should be writing the check for, and I did. And I left. I felt pretty good about it, all right? I finally did this big deal, and I hadn't gotten punched in the face. Now, a day later, I'm in the middle of Iowa somewhere, and I get pulled over by a cop, and I'm speeding. Not much, but a little bit over the speed limit. And I figured, oh, well, this is another one of those things where they just got an out-of-state guy and I'm going to have to pay the ticket. Now, the cop comes up to the window, and I can't stop this shit-eating grin on my face. I just can't stop it. I'm kind of grinning, and my wife's looking at me, and she's saying, "What are you doing, you know?" And he's looking at me, and he says, "You know why I pulled you over?" I said, "Absolutely, I know why you pulled me over," and everything like that. And I keep grinning at this guy. He keeps looking at me, and he says, "Get out of here. Just get out of here." And it was from that amends that I felt so good. But by the way, I drove the speed limit the rest of the way home. You know, God said, "All right, buddy, you don't have to pay this ticket." Now, the one last thing is that, and this is an important thing, in my faith, my spiritual faith that I practice, I'm asked to tithe. And throughout my sobriety and my abstinence, I keep thinking, well, I got to increase that just a little bit. I got to increase that just a little bit more. And the thing is that I got to get out of the judgments. I've got to get out of the judgments and finally just say, write the check and trust. Just trust God that it's going to be all right. So that's my ninth step for the next few months, is to pray about this and in retirement to increase that amount so that it's, do what the guy says. He said it's just a gift, not a commandment, it's just a gift. And I think that's one of the main things that we do, is that we give ourselves these, thank you very much, that we give ourselves these gifts. And who knows what the result's going to be. But never heard anybody said, "I really regret that." So this is Dave, I'm Western Washington. And I appreciate my abstinence, and I appreciate the rest of your sharing. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Dave D. Nancy L. You'll be the
Thank
last person
you.
To share us today on the recorded hour. Good morning.
Hi, Nancy L. from Arizona. Thank you. Very grateful to be here this morning. I, too, am retired and, fixed income and all that stuff. And the fear, for some reason, of poverty has always been hanging over my head. Not so much now, thank God, in recovery. In fact, it's not near as heavy as it used to be, that fear. Anyway, but I want to apologize, and this is something that I heard from the first meeting a lady share, that I have been very stingy about supporting OA and giving my monthly check to OA through this fellowship. I just keep putting it off and thinking I'll get it started, but I haven't, but I'm starting today with that check. And like another fellow said, it's like, so easy in a live meeting, to bring my couple dollars with me every week, but sitting down and actually writing the check and making it a monthly thing, not every other month, but every month, where would I be without this program? Where would I be? And when I think of the thousands of dollars I spent for about five decades with diets and gymnasiums and pills and shots and doctors trying to get the weight off. This is just the best money I've spent on, you know, getting the weight off. And this program is so much more than getting the weight off. I'm a completely changed person, very imperfected still, and in working towards, you know, doing better every day. But I'm just very, very grateful that I can do a turnaround here and get started with making my monthly donations. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nancy L. And that does conclude the recorded part of our meeting. As we close this particular piece, be sure and stay with us after, because we have an additional 10 minutes to greet newcomers, get sponsor names, and give you some announcements. But in the meantime, thank you to everyone who shared today, especially our team that made this meeting possible. And with closing, I would like to ask Kathy Jo P. to please read from page 164, and we'll follow that with a serenity prayer. Good morning, Kathy Jo. Thank you.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.